Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. As we inch towards the end of 2024, what travel goals do you have that you haven't yet met?
And furthermore, what travel goals do you have for 2025?
While we always have a healthy dose of national park travel on the horizon in any given year, this year I'm definitely planning to visit friends in Europe.
And don't forget, we have a pretty incredible trip to Iceland coming up this December, so we're both bound for European shores.
That's right, and thankfully, there's one travel guidebook company we can always look toward for all our travel needs.
From our hikes, to hotels, to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel Guides.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes and check it out to see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks, and also see it at moon.com.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides has you covered.
Head to moon.com before December 31st, 2024, and use code GAZE24, again, that's GAZE24, at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel. Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Vampire fiction.
Vampire fiction.
Obviously, there is a very important reason we're bringing this topic up, and we'll get to that later in this episode, but talk to me about your journey with vampire fiction. I know that you are a huge fan. You consume it constantly. When I walk into your home...
I go to VampCon every year.
You go to Vamp... Well, VampCon is about something else.
Oh, it's about vamping.
No, it's about musical theater vamping. Like, uh-huh. You're waiting mm-hmm. for your music mm-hmm. to just enter uh-huh. into the song.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. No, but legit, what is your experience with vampire fiction?
Well, I have to say, I've never seen Interview with a Vampire. And I feel like that is sort of like iconic vampire fiction from the 90s that became obviously a huge film. You know, we have mega stars in it that are still acting today. But I feel like my foray into vampire fiction and reading it was the Dead Until Dawn series.
That's right. I mean, I was kidding before, but you actually did read
I read Dead Until Dawn. Oh, yeah, Dead Until Dawn. I read like five of them.
Which later became True Blood
on
TV. True.
And they were trashy. I mean, it was just like potato chip reading. It was like nothing was filling about it. It was just junk. And I mean, it was entertaining, and then to see it on the screen is True Blood, which I watched for a few seasons.
Sure, same.
But yeah, I was never like a Buffy person, and I've heard so many people like, you need to watch
Buffy.
And adore Buffy. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the cultural apex, I feel like, for the millennials when it comes to vampires, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was that era of every book at the bookstore was vampire fiction.
Right.
I mean, and it was... All started with Twilight, I think. But I mean,
I don't know that it all started.
Era
it like birthed exploded.
That era was birthed because of Twilight,
right,
I think.
Right.
But yeah, even the vampire fiction that we associate with that era, a lot of that was published already before that era began.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like Dead Until Dawn had been out for a long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it was like suddenly people are unearthing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Literally. Like, digging
literally
it up. Holler out.
out. Buffy was such a moment when it was out. I remember I was such a fan of the original movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the movie I did see.
Loved.
Donald Sutherland as Giles.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. then later the TV show, which was just iconic.
Yeah.
And gave us so many people. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Was really, really pushing the boundaries. While it was a teen drama on like CW or whatever.
I think it was the WB at the time.
Or but WB, yeah. later CW, yeah. that kind of thing. And then it was just... I mean, it really pushed to the boundaries of, like, what can we do with this genre
yeah.
of, like, television yeah. genre, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, teen drama, but it's also a thriller.
Supernatural
But
thriller.
It's also supernatural, yeah. you know? Yeah. And then Twilight, and then Vampire Diaries, and then, like...
Discovery of Witches.
All which of I these things just, like, coming out. I mean, I... Same watch True Blood and
yeah.
but I also never saw Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
Still haven't.
And apparently the TV show is very good too.
Well, I guess we'll have to have a movie night.
I guess we
where
will.
We'll put it on and fall asleep while it's
Sounds
on.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And let the vampires come for us.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land, also known as Olympic National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lower Elwha, Tklallam, Jamestown Tklallam, Port Gamble Tklallam, Skokomish, Quinault, Ho, Quileet, and Makah people.
Okay, so we had just spent a couple of very long, beautiful days hiking in Olympic National Park.
Mm-hmm.
We were headed over to the western side of the park.
Yes.
And we started our day off that day by hiking Cape Flattery and Shai Beach.
Which if you listen to our last episode, that's exactly what you heard about. And
that's
definitely
right.
a recommended area to hike in.
Based off of these two hikes, having an early morning exit to the other side of the peninsula was very important. We just previously had two very heavy hiking days because
yep.
we had done Mount Eleanor and Klahani Ridge.
Back to back.
And we don't recommend.
yeah. Give yourself a break, actually.
And so...
Shai Beach and Cape Flattery were technically our quote-unquote lighter day of hiking, which is a laugh to me. After we got back to the parking lot and did our de-gearing, we kind of sat for a minute and just floofed in the car and ate some snacks and basically decided what our route was going to be. Because we were headed to Forks, which is where we were going to be staying the rest of the time that we were in Olympic National Park. And there isn't really a direct route from Cape Flattery and Shai Beach to this area of the peninsula. So we essentially had to backtrack a decent amount the way that we came before we could essentially turn and head south to Forks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything we know about Olympic National Park, it's that if you want to get from one place to another, you got to drive a long way.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 to 2 hours every time.
Yeah. Yeah, depending. But
depending,
yes.
but most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So Forks.
Yeah.
What we knew about Forks was that it was the setting for the Twilight series.
That's about it.
That was really about it. Have you read the Twilight books?
I have not.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Twilight films?
Not until this day.
Not until this day. I had not seen them either. And I was like, right. we were like, oh, well, we wonder what Forks is going to be like, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah, we were told stay in Forks just because of the fact that Twilight is set there.
It was the biggest sort of town
yeah.
here.
And it's a small
town.
Like strip yeah. of, it's like a strip mall of a town.
I mean, the main street area, but there are a lot of houses and things like that. Yeah. But there isn't like so much of a town center, we'll say.
Sure.
Yeah. I was curious like what kind of spooky fangirling be able to do here. So
right.
There's a lot of driving for us to get to this point from Shawshank Beach and Cape Flattery to Forks. But it's this, you know, forested driving, and it's really just pretty wonderful overall. I mean, that's the nice thing. It's like you have scenic drives the entire time you're on the peninsula. So, yeah, you're driving a long time, but it's beautiful. And it was essentially a very overcast day. So rolling into Forks in this gloom and this gray and this hanging mist was sort of like the perfect setting for all of our vampire dreams.
Oh, all of them. And yeah. We did roll in, and it felt like being a teen in like the beginning of a movie when you like you have to move to a new town and you look around and you're like, this is it.
Yeah.
I put a little pin in that
just
later.
Like Bella.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we decide to do is go to the grocery store because we had no groceries now because we had used all of them previous 2 days.
No perishable things, essentially,
right.
Yeah.
So we went to the grocery store. We got a lot of just our usual stuff at the grocery store, but I had to get a pair of non-fashion sunglasses for Mount Rainier because we were doing that later on this trip. And the sun will reflect down onto the snow and up underneath your glasses and burn the skin underneath your eyes. And so
that's
I was
what we were told.
And so I was like, oh, okay, great.
And Dusty only has fashion sunglasses.
Well, apparently. So we get what we need at the grocery store, and then we head off to the Airbnb we have rented. And this was definitely like a funny Airbnb because it was one of the only ones that was available. And it was a little bit dark, I remember, like, from the photos, and we were like, well, we're going to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can kind of do. We had originally booked this. We were supposed to be on this trip with two friends, and so we had originally booked this with the fact that there would be four of us. There are a couple. There was a king bed and two bunk beds. So the Airbnb was very nice and lovely.
Oh, yeah. It was lovely.
All wood paneled.
But, yeah, let's talk about the inside now.
It was a lot of antler decorations and Americana.
It was a lot of antlers. Yeah. Antlers everywhere.
Yeah.
And deer on the pillows and on the blankets and on the artwork on the wall and wood paneling everywhere. And like that was the aesthetic.
It was. It sure was.
It sure was.
And then this was where I took the opportunity to not be a martyr, and I took the big bed, and Dusty
took
a bunk bed.
That's right. I took one of the bunk beds.
We did a little switcheroo here.
So we both sort of, you know, unpacked. We did our evening routines. We got some dinner ready. And then we started to plan for what we wanted to do the next day. And this is where you sort of went into a little bit of an episode for yourself.
Yeah, I want you to describe it for everybody.
Oscillating is sort of like the, I guess, the scientific word that I'll use. It was sort of like one of your superpowers is being able to hold space for two things that may not work together, but like, how do we find the relationship between them, right?
Laboring.
Yeah. You were doing this, but it was like to your debilitation.
Yep.
I've never actually seen you this kind of worried and stressed and just, it was like, not only were you worried and stressed, but it was like you decided to sort of take on all of it onto yourself. And I just was like, girl, chill out. I was literally saying that to you like in the Airbnb, because what was going on was Mike was looking at doing Ozette Triangle and Ho Rainforest, and there was a third one.
Rialto Beach.
And we wanted to do all of these the next day, but we also wanted to time it correctly with the tides, like high tide and low tide.
Right. So if you're going to Rialto Beach, and if you're doing Ozette Triangle, you have to consider the tides. And this is something I said in a previous episode here in Olympic. You can obviously go to both of these spaces. You can hike some of Rialto Beach. You can hike 2/3 of the legs of Ozette Triangle. But if you're not paying attention to the tides and you don't know that the tide is out, you will not be able to get the full experience of Rialto Beach or Ozette Triangle. I was also contending with the fact of we need to get to at least two of these spaces fairly early because they are popular locations within the park. And we have to time it so we're not going to be like shooting ourselves in the foot with like missing out, because we didn't really have time the following day to do.
Right.
We had one other day in Olympic, and it was kind of our exit day and transition day to Mount Rainier. So we were trying to get all three of these hikes in the same day.
But you were planning this with the like fervor and the the stress of like a teacher planning a field trip for like a group of 75 students.
Well, have you met me and talk to me about how much I hate planning field trips?
Right.
Because it's the worst.
And I was like,
so yeah,
it's just the two of us. We're going to figure it out. And so, you were like, we could do like you had seven different plans.
I felt like that meme of Charlie Day, like looking at them
literally,
like, insane,
and I was like,
at the map.
I was like, why don't we narrow this down to two? And you were like, okay, so it's this or this. And I was like, okay, great. So we'll get up in the morning and see how we feel. And then that was sort of where we left the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the night we just ate a ton of chicken nuggets?
Yeah, we were like tired and we're like, let's just get, because we had done so much hiking.
Ate so much chicken
nuggets.
We're
like, just get frozen chicken nuggets and french fries and just go to town.
That is what we did.
And that was the best decision.
Great.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we were like, you know, let's just watch some TV while we eat food. I made this joke. I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if this TV was just like, had Twilight just like preloaded onto it, so that knowing that like people who come here are going to want to watch Twilight. And when you know it, we opened it up and
literally the first thing preloaded on the TV. First four things, all of the Twilight films
on like it opened up to the streaming service that had Twilight on it to the page. And I was like, now how did they do that? You know, like,
'cause the algorithm knows,
I guess it just knows. Mm-hmm. And so we did turn on the first Twilight movie for a minute. And then we were like, we literally had this moment that Bella has when she pulls into this town and she's like, oh, this is where we're moving to. Right. So, yeah, we watched this movie for a few.
We watched the whole thing.
Oh, did we watch the whole first movie?
We watched the whole first movie.
Look at us. Okay, and we did.
This is not a great film, everybody. I'm like, I truly was awestruck at how awful this film was.
I mean, the dialogue was
like how serious these actors took it. And I'm
the actors always take the work very seriously.
Good for them.
Good
because
for them.
This was some bad material, everybody. And maybe this gets us canceled in the Twilight community. But like, I remember texting, I texted my friend Lauren, who had seen these films, and I was like, what am I watching? She's like, they're not great. Like,
right.
But they're so good because they're not great. And I'm like, I don't know that that's the case.
But we did sit and watch all of it. And then, like, spoiler alert, the next night we watched the next one,
which was worse somehow.
But more budget. It had more budget. And a little different cinematography.
Yeah, wasn't great.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Like Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Like Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Like Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Like Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelikewater.org. All right, so we're playing Walk Run. So what walked so that Twilight could run?
Oh, okay. What walked? I mean, I think it was probably Dead Until Dawn. You know, I feel like that has the same sort of energy because it's like also love triangle. Yeah, it's love triangle between two vampires and a human who ends up being a spoiler alert fairy somehow. That was when I jumped off of True Blood as a show. And, you know, you have that same love triangle between Edward and Jacob and Bella. And I feel like that is sort of like the jumping off point. Also, it's like a remote part of the country. Here we are in Washington State, kind of at the edge of the world in the West. And then here we are in the bayous of Louisiana at the edge of the world in the South. So I feel like that has a lot of energy that's similar to Twilight. And it's the most sort of culturally relevant and contemporary kind of vampire series, I would say, in that regards. Do you have a different answer for that?
Well, I kind of feel like, what's her name, that author, Anne Rice?
Yeah.
Did she write Interview with the Vampire?
Yeah, she had plenty of vampire fiction.
I feel like she definitely walked so that all of that stuff could run.
I mean, I think she's mother when it comes to vampire fiction.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, Bram Stoker can suck it. Keeping with the spooky vibe and also a Jeopardy-style trivia that we wrote recently, what has run because of Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, because of Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Coraline.
Yeah.
I feel like I keep thinking about this character that I saw on Hot Topic all the time, Emily the Strange.
Okay.
I feel like she ran because of Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean...
For me, I feel like it's that movie.
Was it, did Hocus Pocus come out after Nightmare Before Christmas?
That's a good question. It might have been around the same time.
But I do feel like Nightmare Before Christmas, like, definitively intersected Christmas and Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like you can never have any kind of Christmas Halloween crossover without, you know, having Nightmare Before Christmas be the inspiration.
Yeah. For me, I think it's that movie, and I don't know that it's called Jack Frost, but it's like a CGI animated, and like Chris Pine does the voice of Jack Frost, and it's all of the guardians of the holidays come together.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Alec Baldwin
definitely
is like Santa Claus, I think. Isla Fisher is, or Isla Fisher, I always do it, is the Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
Someone's the Easter Bunny, and they're trying to protect the holidays from, I can't even remember who the villain is. And so that feels like a crossover / secondary version of Nightmare Before Christmas to me.
I like that. And that's Walk Run. Okay, so as we've mentioned before, a lot of driving when it comes to Olympic. And since we had quite a busy schedule on this day, we knew there would be a lot of driving because we decided to do this in this order. We were going to do Ho Rainforest, followed by Rialto Beach, followed by Ozette Triangle.
So another light day.
Another light, just light day. These, I would consider all three of these like medium length hikes. Maybe Rialto Beach could be a little bit shorter. Ozette is long. Rialto Beach can be as long as you want it to be. Ho Rainforest, not that long.
Unless you're doing the river trail. So.
But one of the reasons we needed to get to Ho Rainforest first was because it's incredibly popular. It's one of the things that people go to Olympic National Park to see. There is only one two-lane road to get into the Ho Rainforest area to that visitor center. The visitor center parking lot is limited. And so we were like, if we're not in there at 7, then we are not getting in. So,
well, we also were, you know,
hiking early and often as usual.
And trying to make it to Rialto for tide timing.
Right.
Like as soon as tide was out so we could experience that hole.
I feel like you're being re-triggered by this.
I am.
And you're like entering
but I also feel very proud of my tide timing.
Well, there you go. We did have perfect timing with tides. So you had visited Olympic in 2015.
Yep.
So you'd been to the Ho Rainforest area.
Yes.
And so you were like, yeah, it is. You had some insight.
Well, I had driven because I had just made Port Angeles my home base when I was there in 2015. So I had driven to and from Ho Rainforest. And I basically did the same things we did on this day, minus Ozette Triangle. I did not do that. But it was about 2 hours from Port Angeles to Ho Rainforest. And I think it was about 45 minutes from Forks. So just to give you a sense of time, how much driving is required or how far you are from things.
We were really glad we stayed in Forks.
Yeah. And it definitely is, as we were recommended, better to set up two places to stay in Olympic while you're there because it's just going to cut down on all of the driving.
So on this day, Mike was driving because he wanted to gift me the experience of, like, you know, being in the passenger seat, entering the Ho Rainforest area and all the other areas that we had been or that we had planned for the day, sort of like you did in Yosemite.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
first time we drove into Yosemite. It's a very green drive to Ho Rainforest, as typical. One of the things that we will even talk about later in this episode is all the varying different colors of green that you didn't even know existed that
exactly.
you will see in nature here. So as we start to approach, we're doing a little bit of planning in the car about what we're going to do. We were going to walk the Hall of Mosses, which is a must do. But we also, you know, thought about doing the river trail. And if we did both together, it would be about a 7-mile trek. And we were cautious about this because we knew we had two other major stops on this day and hikes that we wanted to do.
So we arrived around 7:30 and basically sailed right into the parking lot. There's no line to get in at all. And we sit in the car just for a minute or two to become more awake and alive individuals. This was also a day where they're rare, but when usually you can get up and are like, okay, I'm good. But you were a grumpy puss this morning.
Oh,
you were,
was I?
You were feeling the tireds. And
oh,
this is
yeah.
also why I drove. But it was definitely like we needed to become more alive individuals because we had done a lot in just 3 days of this trip already.
Didn't we get there? And I was like, I need to just lay down for 10 minutes.
You did. And I was like, I acquiesced because I know that it's either that or a word I can't say on this show. After getting out of the car to gear up, you're just immediately bathed in this green light. And it's even in the parking lot. It is a decently overcast morning here, but the sun comes through the clouds and it hits all of these trees and it's alive with this green light and this green energy. And it felt so peaceful. And we were very fortunate in that there were so few people here at this time, and it was very quiet. So it just feels, you can kind of feel the reverence of this space. And I think that's the best way to describe Ho Rainforest is like, there is a reverence about it.
Yes.
It is like a cathedral to nature. And it is one of those spaces that you go in and it just, you can feel like the spirit of the space. And you can feel that, you can feel how alive nature is and how we aren't that connected to it all the time. But in a space like this, it's so easy to tap into that connection.
So we walk toward the visitor center, which is not open yet because it's now probably around 7:45.
Yeah.
We use the restroom and then we head out onto the trail and very quickly arrive at a signpost that gives some options for the Hall of Mosses, the Spruce Trail, and the Ho River Trail. And we choose to head to the left toward the Hall of Mosses. Initially, we cross this small footbridge over some incredibly beautiful water, and then immediately we're already getting moss.
Yeah.
So that's what this entire, that little moment of like small footbridge, water, moss, that's just like immediately a taste of everything that is about
mm-hmm.
to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth noting that the moss we saw in Shady Lane will not even come close to the moss that we will see here. Which, because we saw a lot of moss in Shady Lane.
A lot of like hanging
great.
Moss. Yeah. It doesn't even really compare, you can't even compare Scudic Peninsula to this space, which
no.
is another mossy kingdom on the other side
no.
of the, you know,
yes.
continent, and something we truly love as a
love.
Hike. But this is all levels of moss that you ain't ever seen.
Scudic Peninsula is in Acadia National Park in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So this is giving true fairy tale kingdom vibes mm-hmm. right off the bat.
Yeah.
And we make a small ascent up with ferns on our left and a drop off of mossy trees to the right, overlooking some water below. As we reach the crest of this hill, there are some fallen trees here that we have to duck underneath.
They're gigantic.
They're huge. Then we arrive at a juncture point and then decide to head left, and we're going to work clockwise.
So this initial section is not the mossy wonderland that happens a little later on the trail, but you do get some moss on trees, and you do have some really, really big trees here, both standing and fallen. The further we walk into the forest, the trees are just entirely engulfed with moss, and there are so many ferns here too. It is just undergrowth of ferns, and again, so incredibly green.
I've mentioned this before, but this is my favorite kind of biosphere,
mm-hmm.
if you will,
mm-hmm.
of like plant life. It's like ferns and moss on rocks and fallen trees. And I've said this before to you. I said, but, you know, how do I get this in my backyard? And your answer was
1,000 years of time.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's true. This is just cultivated space. It's also obviously location, location, location.
Right.
So, yeah.
So eventually, after walking a little bit further, we start to flatten out a little bit more on this gravelly path with some built-in wooden 4x4s for a path. This is where we start to get some trunks of trees that are completely green with moss.
Right.
We also start to see like moss hanging over branches, and then they just like appear to be dripping off. What I kind of loved about this was growing up in Mississippi, moss meant one thing. Moss was this sort of like silvery brown stuff that hangs from trees in very sort of
like Spanish moss, right?
Right. Haunted kind of old South kind of vibe to it,
mm-hmm.
right? But moss is many, many things. And so being able to...
Moss is mother.
go to Olympic and just see just like moss and all of these incredible forms was just such a gift.
After passing through these initial moss tree arches, we eventually end up in a section of smaller trees with moss on the stubby branches that have broken off. And this is something we also saw on Klahani Ridge when we saw some white moss, like almost what felt like Spanish moss, when we were hiking through Heather Park in our descent as we were entering the forest. Some more walking, and we get to some larger groups of trees that are just draped with moss that is cascading off of them. It almost feels like these trees were part of a group of dancers that were then turned into trees by the movement and life that was apparent in them.
We actually talked about that in that moment.
Yeah.
Like that idea, like these look like dancers. These
yeah.
look like dancers frozen in time. I
yeah.
mean, it's like that's...
Who was the Greek god that turned herself into a tree to avoid... Was it Diana to avoid Apollo who was pursuing her? Somebody
Maybe it was.
Somebody I'm... turned themselves into a tree because she was being pursued.
Oh.
And it feels like that.
It yeah.
Taking
it definitely
myth.
Does.
yeah.
It, yeah. It's one of these spots where if you happen upon it and give literally any part of yourself over to the space, that's where the reverence comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like special is a very basic way of describing exactly what this space is like.
Yeah.
And reverent, otherworldly, it felt like we had ascended to like another plane
yeah.
of existence in order to like behold these beautiful pieces of nature. So we walk a little further and we definitely passed like a hobbit and a wizard on their quest.
It's true. Absolutely true.
They were there. They mm-hmm. were, you know, the one of them had a ring.
Mm-hmm. Don't tempt me, Frodo.
That, right.
You must understand that through this ring, I would have a desire to do good.
There it is. Everybody, I do have to say, Mike should have, I mean, we should just like do a bonus episode where you just recap each one of the Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. of the trilogy.
Yeah.
But as we know, it will take as long as each of those films mm-hmm. for Mike to mm-hmm. recap it. That's because mm-hmm. his attention to detail.
Ioma, presta.
There it is.
The world has changed. I feel it in the water.
But back here in the Ho Rainforest, you were really interested in some of the whitish green mosses right. that were happening.
Yeah, it was kind of that same thing I just mentioned. We had seen it in that Heather Park section of Klahani Ridge. It was very interesting to see this like whitish moss, and it felt like the mosses almost felt like spider webs at Halloween on a house whose parents' decorating budget had no ceiling. It was just like, this is truly impressive nature at work. Like, just some of the most beautiful greenery, and just watching and looking at this kind of non-moving object and how beautiful it is in the grand scheme of this whole woodland, and how much of it there is, it's truly impressive.
On this walk, there is literally a large tree that has created a mossy arch that we have to walk under.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to another section of trees, just like plastered with moss everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so peaceful.
There were not many people
no,
with us.
No, there was were like, not.
There was a family that was ahead of us, like with five or six people, and that was it.
And I do remember there were a few kids, but the kids were also quiet. Completely in awe of what they were seeing. Mm-hmm. Again, it's really hard not to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's, this isn't like,
you have to
like
be really tuned out and
like,
tone deaf.
or really oversaturated with beautiful things
yeah.
in your life. Like, to come into the space and not let it move you the way I think it does.
I expect that tree beard is just going to pop out at any moment. And, you know, wonder if we're hobbits on a quest.
And Treebeard is a
from
character.
He's an ant.
Star Wars.
No, Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great.
He's an ant. He's one of the tree folk.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So the path eventually winds us away from the larger moss-covered trees again. And we get to a section where there are some trees that have obviously fallen that the Park Service was attending to. There was lots of sawdust and lots of trunks and lots of stumps, but I have to talk about how it smelled here
yeah.
in this moment, because that's the thing I think people forget when you're traveling in national parks or in outside is like the smells. The
yeah.
smells are such a gift. And when you get them,
treasure them.
Because like this was the moment where it was like these trees have fallen. So they have to carve out some of them to make the path accessible.
Yep.
And like, oh my God, it smelled so good.
Yeah. After we wind through the woods a little bit more, we come to a set of stairs. And this brings us back to our original juncture point. And this is where we head back down to the little footbridge. And we cross the small river. And the water, kind of like standing water that was there as well. And we have to make a decision here. And that is probably that we're not going to have enough time for the Ho River Trail, but that we can definitely do the Spruce Nature Trail.
And with that, let's take our second break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Kara Nuff.
Kara Nuff.
Mm-hmm. Care Enough reminds me of that song from the Care Bears movie. Care a lot. We care a lot. Ch-ch.
Oh, I don't.
Well, you need to go back and watch the Care Bears
movie. I don't remember
that song.
I remember. No, I love the Care Bears movie.
I think
that's
it was
like
the one with the book.
Iconic
the evil
culture
book.
For me. Oh, the evil
second
book.
One.
Oh,
second.
Both
Care
of
Bears
those
movie.
Care Bears movies were great.
Right.
Both of them. But I just remember
with the Care
the,
Cousins.
Yeah, because I think I had a little crush on Lionheart.
Who didn't?
Who didn't? No, I remember the theme song sung by Carole King.
Carolot.
It's a place where you can go for loving and dreaming, Carolot. It's a good song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. She did a great job mm-hmm. with that. But we are talking about the drag performer.
Kara Knuff.
Kara Knuff.
Mm-hmm.
We did intro her, right?
We did, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I'm like so in Care Bear's You're mind Care now Bear's that mind. I'm like, I forgot.
I feel like Kara Knuff is a, her outfit, she's dressed like a candy striper. And she is
interesting.
She's not interested in your BS. She's like she's like an insult candy striper at the hospital.
Interesting. It's like, I mean, I like this.
You need more morphine? No.
Candy striper, I mean, also might be in this world with her. But the I do like the idea of just like genre of outfit being candy striper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I like that. I had a different interpretation of Kara Knuff.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I always feel, and maybe, like, both of these can live together.
Sure.
But I feel like her bit, her consistent bit, is that she's only done the bare minimum.
Oh.
Yeah, she has a song that plays. It only plays for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, she cared only enough.
Sure.
For this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
She can't cross the finish line. She's just starting things and leaving them.
I don't know that it's that. It's just she goes, oh, your expectation is this. I'm going to give you only like a tiny little blip of that.
She's a tease queen.
Because she, I think a tease queen. That's it. Right. She only cared enough to put this much together.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think her drag looks great. And I think she puts care into that. But it's like, if
but
it's
I think
a wig reveal, it's small.
Happening.
Maybe there is. Maybe that's the joke.
It's just like, I only put on eyeliner part of the way.
Right, right.
But it still looks elegant somehow.
Right.
She's made it, she's trademarked it in that, that she's sort of like, eh.
It's
I
like disheveled,
to do this.
But elevated disheveled.
Mm-hmm. Elegant right? disheveled.
Elegant disheveled. Mm-hmm. I mean,
she could be
a queen too.
Mm-hmm. She could. So if she's kind of like half-hearted, what's she singing then?
I think she's...
Or what is she starting and letting her band finish?
I mean, I feel like there's that song like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... Who sings that?
I don't know. Like, I'm the paragon of musical history.
Oh, it's Icona Pop. I don't care. I love it.
Okay.
That song.
Oh, I think
Also, I really don't care.
I don't care. I love it.
That one.
That one.
That's
okay.
Icona Pop. Mm-hmm. And then...
I drove my car into a bridge. Yeah, that
right.
song.
Yeah. I think that's probably her signature song.
Okay.
And then I think there's I Really Don't Care.
Okay.
By Demi Lovato.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I think
so she's
those
a care,
are her.
She's a careless queen. She could
I
care
think so.
Less.
She could care less. Care less.
Care less. Does she have any merch or no?
Maybe. Well, now I'm like, is she care less in some contexts and care enough in others?
Mm.
Maybe she's like... We did this once with another drag queen years ago in another season, but like maybe like in her
daytime life,
she's care enough and she's doing like drag for charity events. And then in the evening time, she's care less and she's everything we've
care
been
a little.
Saying or care a little.
Yeah.
And then she's,
yeah.
God, care a little is a great
mm-hmm.
name. It's I mean, it's a pun and it just sounds like a name.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what's happening.
I think
here.
That's what's happening.
She's a charity worker, drag queen in the daytime.
Care enough,
and
care
then,
a little.
And care a little, she turns dark.
I like it. I like it. So, Thaddeus and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Care enough, care a little. So, I'm pretty sure that I did the River Trail, or part of the Ho River Trail, when I was in Olympic in 2015. But I can't really remember it. I just remember that I was able... to get a very good view of the Ho River, which was incredibly wide. And I remember feeling angry when I was there. I don't know why I said that.
I know. Why were you angry?
I don't know.
Well, you were going through a lot that trip on your own.
I had a lot of emotional journey
happening. You did. For those who haven't heard that story, when Mike visited Olympic National Park by himself, yes, I did get some very like...
From a Safeway parking
sad
lot.
Sad phone calls from a Safeway
sobbing.
Parking lot, just sobbing, where he was like, I just feel so alone, and I want to do this with other people. And I was like, girl, I'm in.
And this is how
Let's
we started traveling
it.
Together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because we care enough.
Little did he know. He would make a podcast with him.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Some things just happen, right?
That's right.
So the Spruce Nature Trail is basically a continuation off of the Hall of Mosses. It's very hard not to say that, like I'm from Long Island, because we were doing the Hall of Mosses.
True, we were.
After crossing the bridge, after crossing this other bridge, we end up like just continuing on this trail. And if we were treated to a ton of mosses on the Hall of Mosses, this Spruce Trail was like Fern Gully. Mm-hmm. It was like ferns everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone, let me explain something to you. That is my dream, to just get lost in a forest of ferns and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Fern forest.
If you ever can't find me, that's where I am. Mm-hmm. I am in a forest of ferns.
You've just become Fern Forest.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not as mossy as Hall of Mosses, there's definitely a lot of moss action happening here as well. It feels a little bit more like a walk in the woods on this trail, but no one's complaining here. So the paths are a lot wider here, and we can walk side by side. And even though the paths are gravelly, it's still soft on our feet, which is nice considering we had done so much hiking the last few days. This was a very easy start to our day.
I think the two of us were just trying to like take in as much as we could at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actual like area, the Ho rainforest area, is like, it's not huge.
Yeah.
It's little, and there's like the parts of Olympic National Park that you go to and visit are tiny little small pockets in big giant
area. Bigger giant ecosystem. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So there are a lot more like wide open sections here. The trees are tall. There's still like a canopy feel, but there's definitely parts where the canopy is more open. There's also like a lot of rooted sections here, which would serve as a prelude to what we would see in a little bit on this trail. But we head down some stairs on a path through this ferny, woodsy wonderland, you know, and everything is just so gorgeous, so fresh, so green, so beautiful.
Eventually, we can start to hear running water, and the trail starts to have more grasses and clovers on the sides of it, and it's clear that we're going to get a view of the river. You can kind of like see pockets of it through the trees. And this is exactly the view that I remember from my first trip. So it's clear that I literally just repeated the same day here with Dusty, which is essentially what we had done when we went to Shady Lane on that first day.
I find it funny that for someone who remembers everything, I think like you were clearly like
trauma.
I don't know if it was like your emotional like state at the time, like sort of clouded that memory for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely a lot of, oh my God, I didn't remember doing this. Oh,
yeah.
We did this, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
I think it also
like,
is easier to
here
remember.
On the show, the only reason we have a show is because Mike can remember everything.
Well, I think it's also easier to remember when there's somebody else that you're making memories with, you know? It's like, oh, you said this and it was funny, but oh, we were right here and that's so cool.
I just want to say I love making memories with me.
It's true, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the river is, again, very wide here. In the section we are viewing, there are larger areas that are breaking up the river, almost like sandbars, but it just is this incredible wide expanse. And we're on a high enough bank, but it is very clear that this river is powerful and moving very quickly. We walk along the bank for a little bit before dipping back into the mossier areas of the trail. And the trail immediately engulfs us once we leave the river.
So after walking a very short distance here from the river, we encounter this tree that has fallen over. Shocking, another fallen tree.
Mm-hmm.
Its root ball is exposed, though. And on top of the tree were a whole bunch of smaller but really tall trees growing. And this was really cool. And it was sort of like a nurse log, but there is a term if you go listen to our trail mix on
rainforest,
you will hear about the term for when plants grow on top of other plants. So this section of the trail feels very much like deep fairy tale forest again, and it is foreshadowing some of the hikes that will come later in this day.
We come across a row of very tall trees that were clearly all fostered by the same nurse log, which is no longer visible. These trees are just right in a row, and it's cool to see how death begets new life in this way.
That's right, mm-hmm. Because endings are
new
in and of themselves beginnings.
It's true.
So eventually we wind through the woods some more, and we come to a part of the trail beset by water on the left. These small creeks that are basically just, this small creek that is like following the rest of the trail. It's called Taft Creek.
We have to cross a small wooden bridge, which leads us back to more trail and some tinier footbridges. This is actually really neat because you are able to see, and we are able to see, some plant aquatics here. This also feels like an older section of the forest with really gnarly trees, and there's more moss here.
Eventually, we come back to the main part of the trail, and we dip off of the pathway, and that takes us to the visitor center, because the visitor center is literally right there.
Yeah, and open at this point.
Yeah,
and it was like open. Maybe like 9 o'clock now. It didn't take us long to do Ho Rainforest, like maybe 9:30, 10 at the latest.
What we really appreciated was this was Pride Month that we were there, June, and this visitor center was really doing the work with Pride Month. They had the signboard. People could write messages on the signboard about why you are proud to be who you are and why you are excited to be here as yourself in this space here in Olympic National Park. And so there was a lot of great messages on that.
We have our visitor center moment here, which is the second of the trip, because we stopped at the Hurricane Ridge Visitor Center, which is kind of at the base, or the Port Angeles Visitor Center, I guess is what it was. But this rainforest is now crowded.
Oh, yeah. And it's fully 9, right at 9 a.m. Because it didn't take us, maybe like, it took us like maybe an hour and a half to do that.
Yeah.
Can I just say right now, in this moment, I'm like, God, I loved walking through the Ho Rainforest.
Yeah.
And if I could just teleport myself there right now, I would, and I would walk through there.
Yeah. It's definitely that space to come back to. We, again, always advocate for it, and perfect example of hiking early and hiking often. We were able to head through the visitor center, head back to the car, and de-gear ourselves and get ready for what would be the second of three hikes this day.
Okay, so let's put the Ho Rainforest trails on the Karen Stone scale. For those who may be just joining the show or listening for your first episode or first few episodes, perhaps, the Karen Stone scale is our scale of difficulty when it comes to trails. We find that like difficulty is very relative when it comes to park.
Yeah.
Like difficulty in Arches does not equal the same difficulty in Yosemite or Acadia or Big Bend or here in Olympic. We do also acknowledge that we're people who hike very long distances all the time, and we are similar in our hiking practices, so that also skews this too. But you know what? This is what we call our level of difficulty.
Sure.
We have had people who have emailed us to be like, I cannot believe that you labeled that trail a 5 because, good God, that was very difficult. And for that, I mean, we're sorry. I mean, it's going to be bias anyway we look at it. Mm-hmm. So where are we putting the trails through the Ho Rainforest in Olympic National Park? My immediate instinct is 3.
I'm going to say 2 for both of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the exception of the ascent that you have in the initial part of the Hall of Mosses, it's very flat and very easy.
It is flat and easy. It is, yeah.
And same thing for Spruce Nature Trail. It's not that hard. What a great way to start our day. This day includes 3 episodes, and that's how wild we were on this day. We were like, yeah, we're going to do these 3 things. This was a perfect prelude to the other 2 hikes that we did.
Oh, without a doubt.
So I would say 2s. So for me, it's a 2. For 3s for you?
I'm just collectively thinking of all of them together, and I just think a 3, only because maybe there's some like unevenness to the ground.
So a 5 out of 20.
5 out of 20, Karen Stones. Yeah. And let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia. All right, Mike, why don't you get us started?
Great. So my Jeopardy was inspired by Forks and the idea of The Road Not Taken.
Oh.
So in The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, we have 2 roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. So we have an A-B-A-A-B rhyme scheme here.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a poem that is going to describe a national park.
Okay.
Using the vehicle of two roads and adjusting two roads. The rhyme scheme will still be the same.
I love poetry. I really do. I really do. I love it so much.
Great.
Please read poetry to
me. Great, great. Please read me poetry. Mm-hmm. All right, for 100. Two roads diverged on a mountain pass. As cold winds blow, a snowy spree. From mountain heights to desert glass, these trees grow oddly, almost crass, to this park called.
Oh, it's going to rhyme with glass, correct?
No, it's going to rhyme with spree.
Spree. Oh, what is Joshua Tree?
That's correct. To this park called Joshua Tree.
Oh.
Great.
Okay.
Great. All right. So it's going to rhyme with the second line.
Okay, great. Yes.
Great.
A-B-A-B.
It's A-B-A-A-B is the
that's
rhyme scheme.
It, that's okay. It. Okay, okay,
so,
yeah. Got it.
I just had to worry about that when I was writing.
Right, right.
For 200.
But I appreciate a consistent rhyme.
You're welcome.
Rhyme scheme. Yeah.
Two roads diverged in Heartland Great. To the north, a city filled with boons. The other westward, till we locate lakeshore spaces with sand create a marshy park called.
What is Great Sand Dunes?
Oh, incorrect.
Oh, what is Indiana Dunes?
Right.
There we
so
go. There
a
we
city
go.
Filled with boons. What city is that to the north?
Well, that's going to be Chicago.
There you go. All right.
Right.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
All right. And marshy was my other clue for you.
That's
there.
True. Okay.
All
I'm
right.
listening.
All right. Are you though?
Well, I'm immediately picking up like where the B is,
yeah.
And I'm like just so I'm thinking in my brain what rhymes with that, and
yeah.
maybe missing some things.
Okay, great.
Okay,
for 300, two roads diverged along the shore, on fanboat touring afternoon crusades through marshy wetlands. Not a bore, wildlife aplenty, birds a score, to the southern park called.
What is Everglades?
That's correct. For 400, two roads diverged, a desert path, the sun above, a constant thief, with arches, washes, and shadeless wrath. Find afterwards, you'll need a bath, in this park called.
What is Capitol Reef?
That's correct.
Yes, it's so satisfying to get it.
And this one is not a national park, but just listen.
Okay,
all right?
Okay.
Two roads diverged in forest green, and sorry I could not travel good. From misty mountains to rides pristine, my excitement brimming and quite keen, to this singer's park called.
What is Dollywood?
That's correct.
Boom. Okay.
You got it.
Girl, that poetry was so good. We know this about you. You're an incredible writer.
Well, thank
I
you.
I just want you to know.
I also used Robert Frost and hijacked him.
Great. Okay, so my Jeopardy category is called Rainforest Drop-In.
Okay.
And so I've taken a popular song, and that includes the word rain in the title, and you just have to drop in the word rainforest. But the only thing you get as a clue is the name of the artist that sings it.
Oh, God.
Here we go. For 100.
All right.
Annie Lennox.
Here Comes the Rainforest Again. What is Here Comes the Rainforest Again?
Correct.
Okay.
For 200, Adele.
I set fire to the rainforest.
There it
Adele,
is.
Don't
don't do that.
Damn it, Adele.
Okay.
Take your break from music and leave the rainforest alone.
Yep. For 300, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, it's gone.
What is Have You Ever Seen the Rainforest?
Okay.
Okay, great. For 400, Lady Gaga.
What is Rainforest on Me?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And for 500, The Weather Girls.
What is It's Rainforesting Men.
That's right. There you go. And that was Rainforest Drop-In.
Great. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin. Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at gazeatthenationalparks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Scalios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.